Well, it's probably not the best to start a new series on a snowy day when half the congregation isn't here and the junior high retreat, so another part isn't here. But hey, the Lord is sovereign, and so that's the way it worked out, and that's okay. We'll go forth in faith on that. So we are going to start a short sermon series lasting, anticipate, 4 weeks now. And I'm going to do that which I almost never do, as you know, and we're going to do a topical series for 4 weeks. Whenever I do this, I always remind you all of what my seminary professor had instructed me in terms of preaching way back when. Said that once every 5 years you may preach a topical sermon instead of preaching through books. Once every 5 years, preach a topical sermon and then immediately repent right after that. I'm going to preach 4 in a row, so this should do us for 20 years. No. But I'm going to do a short series here on the idea of time. Take a look at what does God say about time. Now, I'll confess to you that I'm not fully sure where this is going to lead us completely. I don't have this all mapped out yet. I'm interested to see what the scriptures have to say about time. I have, some real basic ideas and framework here, but I'm really seeking the Lord and His scriptures on this also. The idea on this series comes out, as always, as my wife and I were talking, and comes from her wisdom significantly on this. But taking a look at this is, we're starting a new year, which is always a time when we tend to be a little more reflective as a people on how our days are being ordered, how we're structuring our lives and our time. It's a wonderful time to pause and reflect upon our life. But also, I think it's an area that we always wrestle with how we spend our time, but we don't focus on in terms of what God says about our time. So we'll spend time looking at the scriptures about how do we spend our money, for example. What does it mean to be a good steward of our money? We look at the scriptures and that. But we tend not to look at the scriptures to say, what does God say about time? And time's a very interesting thing. I think we live in a day and age where we all feel very, very harried. We feel very busy, very, very tossed back and forth, that we're always running to and fro and that we don't have enough time. Of course, the irony is that we have exactly the same amount of time as we've always had. We tend also to look back to a bygone day when it felt like things were slower and there was more time to do things that we liked. I think in younger generations now, as we have younger kids, we feel so busy, and we look at our parents' generation and our grandparents, and we either long for what they had or we feel judged by our parents' generation, who kind of look at us with this sort of, boy, you kids are busy running around a lot. We're trying to figure out why that is, and there's just this confusion. We feel slaves, like we are slaves to time, like we can't break out of time. And yet God is not that way. God is not controlled by time. God is somehow different than that, for God is outside of time. But He's not indifferent to time, because He works within time. So there's all these elements to the idea of time. So I want us to take a look at this for a few weeks. The idea of time. What does the Lord say? Because God has made us finite creatures. So we were reflecting on this with the elders yesterday. Just one kind of interesting thought, I think it's interesting, came upon us yesterday is that God made us so that we need to sleep every day. I think that's interesting. As created beings, we have to sleep every day. God didn't have to create us that way. God could have created us so that we needed to sleep, you know, once a year, or once a week, or not at all. And yet He created us so that we needed, we were bound, we were contained in weak vessels that needed to sleep once every 24-hour period for a significant amount of time. So we're finite. That's how God has made us. So we're going to explore this. Just to give you a little preview, after this four-week series, we're going to go and start a study in the book of Nehemiah. So we're going to go through that book there, which is a very interesting time period and series of events and cultural setting in the history of Israel that's going on that I think has a lot of parallels to our day, I think, as we'll explore. So that'll be our next series that we'll begin. We'll go through, we'll pause for Holy Week, and then continue on afterwards. So if you want to begin reading ahead, we'll be looking at the book of Nehemiah starting out after this four-week series. So with that, all of that long preamble, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, You are the Creator, the Author, the Sustainer of everything, O God. There is nothing apart from You. And yet You are not created, O God. You are the Alpha and the Omega. From You, O God, arises everything, Lord. And yet You are outside of Your creation. You are the Creator. You are the King over all of Your creation. And You rule and reign in majesty over Your creation, O God. You are the master of all, O Lord, and we thank You, O good and gracious and loving God, that You have made Yourself known to us, Your creatures, Father. We thank You, Father, that You've given us Your Word, and that You have made Yourself known, not only through Your creation, Father, not only have You made Yourself known so that we can look at the night sky and that we can look at the beauty of the trees in Your creation, but You have made Yourself known most perfectly, most beautifully in Your Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, who died on the cross in our place, and that by Your grace, through faith in Your Son, Jesus Christ, we who have sinned against You can be saved, O Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Jesus. We ask now, O God, as we turn to You in Your Word, that You would open our eyes and our ears, that we would see and hear Jesus, and that we would know You, our King, that we, O Lord God, would order our days according to You, our Lord, our Master. That You, O Lord God, would give us wisdom to walk in You, to follow You, O God. That we would have Your peace, that we would be Your people and You would be our God, to the glory of Christ Jesus, our Savior. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. The paradigm for this series, or the title for this series, comes from the scripture we'll be looking at this morning and next week. We're going to look at the same passage for the first 2 weeks here. It's from Psalm 90. The title comes from verse 12 there, which is, teach us to order our days, or to number our days, to count our days. And we'll try to unpack that a little bit over the next 2 weeks. Teach us, Lord, to number our days, so that, for the purpose that, so that we may gain wisdom. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days. From Psalm 90, verse 12. As we look at time. Time is a strange thing. St. Augustine writes in one of his famous writings called The Confessions. He says, "What then is time?" He says, "If no one asks me, I know what it is. But if I wish to explain it to someone who does ask me, now I don't know what it is." Right? So if you're just thinking about what's time, I know what time it is. I know what time is. But if someone says, "Okay, explain to me time. Define time. Tell me what time is." Well, it gets hard to explain it, right? To try to actually put words to it. But we all know what time is, inherently. I can describe it to you mathematically. That's a little bit easier, actually. See, mathematically, we think of things being three-dimensional. We live in a three-dimensional world, right? So we talk about one dimension, that's a dot. Two dimensions is a line. Right? Three dimensions, things have height, width, and length. Three dimensions, so a three-dimensional object, right? Fourth dimension, which starts to sound like science fiction, but it's not. A fourth dimension is just time. So it's a three-dimensional object that moves because there's time involved. Just time. You think of the fourth dimension, it's not something on Star Trek. It's just time. It's just math. It's another variable in a mathematical equation. So that can be easy to describe now. Time. It can be great in a song. Time. Keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Sounds cool, huh? Not when I sing it, but. Time. So we feel pressed by it. And yet, the Lord God Almighty has created time. Time is created. Time hasn't always existed. Time, just like the universe, just like the sun and moon and stars and earth and all things, is created, and God sits outside of it. It is something that God made for His glory and for us as creatures. So let's take a look at one passage that I hope will help us to get a grip on God's purposes in time and what He desires for us to understand about time. Please turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Now this is a psalm that the superscription tells us was written by Moses. So many of the Psalms were written by David. Some of the Psalms, we don't know who wrote them. There are a few, though, that are written by Moses, and this is one of them. It's very possible that the next few after this were written also by Moses, though they're not specifically called out as such. Psalm 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, You have been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or You brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in Your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They're like the new grass of the morning, Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath, and we finish our years with a moan. The length of our days are 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is God's word. Time. We're going to reflect on time. Now, Moses starts off by setting for us a right, a relationship before the Lord, and saying that not just for a little while, not just when things are good, not just when Israel and God's people are in good times, but forever, forever, the Lord is God and we are not. Verses 1 and 2, well, sorry, 1 through 6. The Lord is God and we are not. And this is forever. And I think this is really the heart of this psalm. And the heart of what Moses is calling for us to reflect upon here, and doing so in the midst of asking God to help us understand about our relationship to time versus God's relationship to time, and asking us to not just think about how we are and how we relate to time, but how then we live in time, for the purpose of us knowing, this is kind of like here's the end. We're going to start with the end here, okay? Here's the conclusion here, right? That forever, eternity past, eternity future, right now, today, on Sunday, January 8th, 2017, tomorrow morning when we get up to go to school, to go to work, to do whatever we're doing tomorrow, the Lord is God, and we are not. He is our Lord, and therefore He is our Master. Verses 1 through 6. Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. There's the forever. Reflecting backwards. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting past to everlasting future, you are God. This is forever, that He is God. It's also putting in context of who He is. He is the one who gave birth to the mountains. I can't do that. Right? It's a great Family Circle cartoon where the father is sitting under a tree with one of the small children. I don't know if it's Billy or which one it is. Right? And they're watching the sun set. And the sun goes down, a little boy says to the dad, "Daddy, do it again." Right? Well, Daddy can't do it again. Right? But God can. God can. Because God is the one who gave birth to the mountains. God is the one who creates. He is the Creator God. He made us. He sustains us. He holds us together every minute of every day. He didn't just create, wind us up like a clock, set the world free, and then say, see you later, and walk away. He is here. He is present with us every moment of every day. He is not an absentee God. He is with us right here, right now. What are you going through? What hardship? What sorrow? What difficulty? God has not walked away. God has not left us. And God never will leave us. He is with us. The same God who created each and every star and knows them by name and sets their courses in the heaven is with us right now, today. And He loves you. And He loves you. And He knows. And He cares for you. And He's never, ever leaving. He's never leaving you. Because He loves you and you are His child. He is our God from everlasting past to everlasting future. But we are not God. Goes on in verses 3 and 4. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O son of man. So we think we are all that. We think we are so powerful. We get up in the morning and think that we have control of our destinies. And I don't want to downplay our ability and our strength, because God has given us great strength. I don't want to say that we are unable in any way, because God has made us and empowered us so wonderfully, so beautifully, to go and to bless and to love and to provide. It's such a blessing how God has made us capable. But He's made us capable to bless and to love and to serve. And that is different than getting up in the morning and saying, I am Lord. I am Master. It's like the one who Jesus tells the parable of the rich man who says, I have so much, I need to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. I need to store more. I have so much, I need to build more, build more, build more. And God says to him, you fool, you do not realize that this very night your life will be required of you. You're going to die tonight. This man, the point there being that he thought he was master of his own destiny, that he was in control of everything. And in that case, his wealth, he thought he was all-powerful. Jesus says, you do not understand. You are not the Lord. God is the Lord. And you don't understand time. God understands time. And God is in control of your life. Not you. Not you. And that's the point here, that He is the one who returns us back to dust. And for God, time is different for us. Look, for 1,000 years in your sight, God, are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Think of so many times in our life, and this isn't bad of us. This isn't wrong of us. God, I don't think, is trying to chastise us for this. For us, so many things in our life take a long time. Especially when we are in the midst of suffering. Suffering and hardship takes a long time. The good times don't take very long, do they? Things are going well, those go by pretty quick, right? But when things are hard, it takes a long time. And you're praying along with David, like in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord. This is going on forever. So I often reflect on situations like Moses, when he flees from Egypt and is living in the desert. I know we've talked about this and we've said this many, many times. Then we turn a page in our Bible and all of a sudden it's the burning bush and God is talking to him. Right? And it's just a quick turn of the page, but it's 40 years. What is 40 years of not hearing from God for Moses going, Lord, what has happened? I thought I was being righteous for you, standing up for you and your people, and here I am lost in the desert. Or for Joseph, thinking he's being a man of God and integrity in Potiphar's house. He's done nothing wrong. I contend when he tells his dream to his brothers and his father, I don't believe he's bragging. I don't believe he's putting on airs. My thought and opinion on that. But so I don't believe, obviously what his brothers do by selling him into slavery, regardless, even if he is bragging, is unjust and is wrong. So his being a slave is, he's in an unjust situation. It's not right where he finds himself. And then he works his way out of it into Potiphar's house by being a godly man. And through his acts of integrity, staying by and following God, he finds himself imprisoned. And this whole ordeal of his until he is elevated to second of command in Egypt, it's an 18-year journey. I mean, can you imagine how many, why, God, why, which is not recorded in Scripture, but, I mean, the suffering, right? That time of suffering there. The Scriptures say that God is with us. And for God, He doesn't see time in that way. And that's an encouragement that we are not masters of time and not our own masters, but God, who for eternity, He's not in time, He is over time. And for Him, 1,000 years are like a day. From eternity past to eternity future and right here, right now, today, the Lord is God and we are not. And that is meant to be a corrective to how we think, and it's meant to be a blessing and peace to change our thinking. To change our thinking. Verses 7 through 9. Moses is calling out, one of our challenges is that we have tended to think that we are the Lord. And this is our huge problem. This is the root of sin. Verses 7 through 9. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All of our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. What's going on here is that Moses is calling out that we as people, because we are thinking we are lords, we are missing the fact that we are living in rebellion against God. He's calling out the condition, the human condition, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is the condition of sin that humanity lives in. And it goes way back to the Garden of Eden, right? What is it? What is the sin that Adam and Eve committed? What was their rebellion? They wanted to be like God. They wanted to be Lord, not God be Lord. They didn't want to submit to the Lord God, who was their loving creator. They were convinced that they were to be God, deceived into believing that they were Lord. They would be God. And that's the human condition in sin now that has continued, that we have thought that we are Lord. And he's using this paradigm within the idea of time. And not just time management, not just meaning that, but there's an element of that here. As we move through time, we think that we are time lords. Thank you. Doctor Who, right? They're time lords. Thank you. We got a couple science fiction fans in here, right? Okay, we can go there. Thank you. All right. Time lords, so they can move throughout time. They're masters of time, right? You can travel throughout time. There's a DC Comics, DC Universe has a show too, Legends of Tomorrow, where there's time masters, and they move. They're like it's part of their superpowers. Is that they can move throughout time. They can go through any time period they want because they are the masters of time. They can go back and forth in time and change time because they are the masters of time. No. The Lord God Almighty alone is Lord. And Moses is calling out this huge cautionary tale for us because the problem with us is that we have sinned and thinking that we are the Lord. That we are the Lord. You know, I think where this comes in to deal with time. You know, we all feel so busy. And we are. And I confess to you, I don't know the answer to how to not be busy. In fact, I would suggest probably most of you have better answers than I do on the idea of busyness. And not that that's the goal of what we're trying to, I think, try to address here in our sermon series is how to not be busy. That's not my objective necessarily. It's, you know, how to start the new year not busy. It's not necessarily it. But I pray to have a right thinking and understanding and God's understanding of time. But I do believe that something about busyness can distract me and possibly you from a right walk with God or a deeper walk with God. That how I steward my time can lead me away from God. And I don't want that. I certainly don't want that. And I do recognize that there are some choices I've made with my time that I feel are not mine to make anymore. I feel trapped. Like I feel like there's things I don't have a choice. Well, I have to do certain things. As I get up tomorrow morning, I feel like there are things that I have to do that are not mine. My time is not my own. And I'm not sure that's always true. Or I question that. Maybe that's just because of choices I've made in the past that have led me here. Because all of my time really belongs to God. All of it is God's. Just like all of my financial resources are God's. Every minute of this day belonged to God. Because He is the Lord. Not me, not my day timer, not my calendar, not my job, not even my family, though I honor God with my family, not my activities, not whatever. Not the wild card weekend schedule of football games. There's not many football fans here right now. That doesn't work as well. Okay. They're all away right now. The Lord is God. Well, Moses closes in this passage now with two prayers. First, in verses 13 to 16, he prays for God's mercy. For God's mercy, recognizing how he and all of humanity have sinned by thinking that they are lords, particularly over their time, by thinking that they are masters of time and not seeing that God is infinite. When we're talking, when Moses is talking about time, he's really saying we fail to see that God is infinite and we are finite. So he prays in verse 13, "Relent, O Lord, have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." So there's his first prayer. Have mercy on us. Satisfy us with your unfailing love. Satisfy us. Not with what we plan, O God. Not with what we think is best, O Lord God. Not with what we are pursuing, O Lord God. Not with the building of our kingdoms, O Lord God. Satisfy us with your unfailing love, O God. Let that be our satisfaction, God. And may they be merciful to us because we're messed up in thinking that our satisfaction is actually in the things that we want to build and the things that we want to pursue and the things that we desire. We think that's where our satisfaction is going to lie. And we're messed up in thinking that. So God, please be merciful and erase what we think we desire. Just wipe out what we desire in our hearts because it's sinful. And replace it, O merciful God, with a satisfaction for you. That's his first prayer. His second prayer then is for a blessing in what we're going to do today, tomorrow, and the next day. Verse 17. He's not just saying, I'm going to go up on a mountain and going to cross my legs and just pray and just stop eating and stop working. No. He's saying, I'm going to work tomorrow, God, and so I want you to bless it. Verse 17, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So here's a second prayer. God, please bless us because I'm going to work and I'm going to do things. And I want you to lead me in it. And it's not just talking about your 9-to-5 job. It's whatever we're doing. God, lead us in our work. And may it be your work, what you desire us to do. And Lord, bless it, please. Lead me and bless it, please, O Lord God. May it be your work. Not what I desire to do, not my purposes, but your purposes, O Lord God. Why? Because remember, the Lord is God, not me. So what do we do? Well, I think today, and I think tomorrow morning when we get up, I think I'll call myself and all of us to what hopefully is a subtle shift. Maybe it's a radical shift for us. I don't know, but a subtle shift, which is maybe before we reach for our phone, we ask God and we say with heartfelt prayer, Lord, this is the day you have made. We give ourselves to you. What would you have us do? Lead us in this day. We are your children. Thy will be done. That we set ourselves and start ourselves off in the day as saying, God, you are the master, and we are your children. Your will be done. And not just in the morning, but may God give us the grace that as we walk throughout the day, He give us eyes and give us minds and give us hearts and gives us ears that we would know that the day does not belong to us. Tomorrow is not our day. And Tuesday doesn't belong to us either. And in fact, none of them do. And that's good. If you want to be blessed, the days shouldn't belong to us. Because we will desire things that don't satisfy us. That the days are the Lord's, because He is our good, loving Father. And if we desire the satisfaction of our souls, that we will say, Father, we need to have You lead us. A subtle shift as we plan our day for tomorrow, may we ask the Lord to plan our day, to order our day and our days and our minutes and our hours and our seconds. Because they are His. You see that subtle shift? That the day and the time is the Lord's. They all belong to Him. So let us humbly surrender all of our day to our loving Lord. Let's pray. Father, yes, forever, You are the Lord God Almighty, not us. And we thank You that You are. Forgive us, Father, that we have continually, even when we are born again, O God, we have continually tried to be Lord, to sit upon the throne, O God, in subtle ways that we don't even recognize. We pray, O Lord God, that You would satisfy us in the morning with Your unfailing love, that the things of this world would grow strangely dim, and that You, O God, would order our steps. We would have wisdom from You, O God, that our days, our hours, our minutes, our seconds would be led by You, would be Yours, and to Your glory, O Lord God, that we would have deep satisfaction in You. And it would be all for Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.